Nehemiah, the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter number 6, Nehemiah chapter number 6. But let me just say this while you're turning there, what a great joy it was and a blessing to be able to baptize those two young people today, amen. How exciting that was. And honestly, we've been trying to baptize Spencer's granddaughter, as I said, for months and months and months, but COVID and sickness and out of town, vacation, then we had to cancel just one thing after another, amen. And I do believe that Satan probably was hindering that work to be done. But listen, God's plan came together today, amen. And the gospel was preached, and they got baptized, and so glory to God for that. Nehemiah chapter number 6, we're going to do something different tonight. But again, different doesn't mean wrong, it just means different. So we're going to stand right away, and Nehemiah chapter 6, we'll read just 4 verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. As we think on this thought, should the work cease? Should the work cease? Notice what the Bible says in Nehemiah 6, beginning in verse number 1. And now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me a mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we can meet together this evening, Father, in preparation for our annual ministry meeting, Father. And as we look at this passage, Father, and think on these thoughts, should the work cease? Father, I pray that you'll speak to the hearts of your people that are gathered here today, Father. Challenge them, Father, and we must come to this kind of understanding tonight that the work should not cease. So, Father, I pray that you'll speak to that one that could be here this evening that does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Father, may they come to the understanding by the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God that they're a sinner, and that sin has separated them from God for an eternity. But God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary, Father, that if they'll just believe by faith in what he has done for them on that cross, Father, they shall be saved. So, Father, challenge both the Christian, challenge the lost today, Father. Work in our hearts as you see fit to do. And, Father, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory. For you alone deserve it all. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Anything that you and I do for God is a great work. I get that term, a great work, from verse number 3. And I believe God intends us to do this great work, to do his work well, and stay with it until that work is completed. Here we find in this passage of Scripture, if you know and have any kind of understanding of the book of Nehemiah, he went back to rebuild the walls, and went back to rebuild the gates, but the enemy came, and the enemy distracted him and tried to distract him from doing what God should do. So basically, we find that Nehemiah said this, should the work cease? One Bible scholar said this one time, the measure of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. The measure of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. It's not what it takes to get him started. That's pretty easy. A lot of us start a lot of things, don't we? Most of us, I hope it's not most of us, some of us never finish the things that we start. Many people start out doing a great work for God, but they don't finish that great work for God. This town, Hampton, this area around Sharon Baptist Church is filled with people who once were involved in the work of God. Some are just merely pew sitters here at our church, Others are not even attending church at all. What stopped them? I used to think this, well, they probably weren't saved at all, but I come to understand as I matured in my spiritual life that that's probably not the case. Everyone who quits working on God does not necessarily mean that they weren't saved to begin with. What it does mean is simply this, that there are some that probably are not saved and never trusted in Christ as their Savior, and they quit the work of God. But most of them probably are not. Some of the things that will come up in our lives to hinder us from doing the work that God has for us to do. And these things also hinder us from doing the work of the church. And so I think the work that we do at home, the work that we do in our community, and even the work that we do here at the church is oftentimes hindered. So I want us to think about this thought tonight. Should the work cease? I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, near the back of your Bible. Thank the Lord that all the T-books are put together for us. 1 Thessalonians, you imagine what a nightmare it could be if they were just interspersed throughout trying to memorize them, and God helps us in that. 1 Thessalonians, I look at chapter number 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and we'll look at verse 17 and verse number 18. I want you to see, first of all, very quickly tonight, that the devil can cause the work to cease. Notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 17 and verse number 18. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor to more abundantly to see your face with great desire. And notice verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. I want you to know that sometimes the devil can cause the work to cease at a local New Testament independent Baptist church. Paul, in all his apostolic ministry and all his apostolic authority, could not block Satan. He said, I desire to come unto you, but Satan kept me from coming unto you. Don't take this satanic hindrance lying down. The Apostle Paul didn't take it lying down as well. He did something about it. You say, what did he do, Pastor Carroll? Well, first of all, he understood that it was a satanic hindrance. It wasn't a work of the flesh. It wasn't a work of the world. It came from Satan himself. And he knew that this wasn't a random, regular kind of attack. It was an attack from Satan himself. Paul had the foresight and the discernment to know and understand what type of attack that was. You say, how did he know that? How did he have that discernment? How did he have that foresight? Because the Apostle Paul was a student of the Word and kept in regular communication and read God's Word and studied it and learned it and knew it today. Well, we see that he understood it was a satanic attack. But then secondly, we find that Paul had faith. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, but we, brethren, being taken from you, get this now, notice what he says, for a short time in presence. The Apostle Paul had enough faith to know and understand this, that it would only be a short time before these roadblocks were removed and he'd be able to go to the church at Thessalonica in person there and witness unto him. Thirdly, I think Paul was committed to fight the roadblocks any way that he could. He didn't say, well, there's some roadblocks that can't come to you, so I'm just going to quit. I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop doing what I know to do. No, Paul didn't do that. As a matter of fact, we understood this, that he said, if I can't be there in person, this letter is going to come to you, and it's going to come to you and teach you, and I'm going to encourage you, even though I cannot be there. You see, you think about this thought that there's many Bible scholars believe that this book of 1 Thessalonians was Paul's earliest letter written as an apostle. And if that is the case, if that is literally true, then Satan's roadblock got Paul started on a letter writing ministry to the churches all around. So there's no doubt in this pastor's mind that when Satan saw that great work that the Apostle Paul did through this letter-writing ministry to the churches, no doubt he probably thought that he regretted ever hindering Paul at all. I don't know about you, but oftentimes we look at being hindered as something that's a negative thing. Listen, I understand this and I believe this, that God is sovereign. And God is sovereign over our life. He's sovereign over time. He's sovereign over eternity. And oftentimes when something doesn't go our way in the exact time, we get upset with God. But understand this, that if that was the case, if this was his first apostolic letter after he became an apostle, it started his letter writing ministry to all the other churches. And we know what a great blessing that has been as well. You see, we understand this evening that Satan, once we're saved, cannot take our soul, but he can ruin our service if we're not vigilant. If we're not careful and watching our testimony, we have a bad testimony for the cause of Christ. We cannot lose our sonship with God the Father, but we can become useless in our service. I can think of many people who started out serving God since the time I received Christ as my Savior, who no longer are being used of God in a way that God wanted them to, desired them to, because they weren't faithful to God, because they weren't careful, they weren't vigilant, and they fell into sin, and God, so to speak, had set them on the shelf. Satan can affect our future in heaven, but he can affect our faithfulness here. You see, that's the biggest qualm for Christians today. It's simply this, that we know we're going to heaven. We know we're saved. We know we're born again. We can't lose our salvation. I'm thankful for that. But we don't care about being less effective for the cause of Jesus Christ. As long as we're going to heaven, we look at that and we say, boy, what a wonderful thing that is. But the truth of the matter is, because of our sin and sinfulness, we can lose our testimony and not be fruitful here on this earth. So what kind of testimony do we have with those around us? What kind of testimony do you have on your job? What kind of testimony do you have of your family? What kind of testimony do you have at school? Our effectiveness as a child of God can be hindered by succumbing to the enemy's temptation. Thank God that Jesus has never succumbed to temptation when the devil came knocking his way in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. And he quoted scripture to empower him to resist that temptation. And he quoted that scripture to Satan himself. Well, the devil can cause the work to cease, but then something else, discouragement can cause the work to cease. You know, when we're thinking about this journey and turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Let's just read that together. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And let's read in verses 26 through verse number 28. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verses 26 through verse number 28. This is really a recounting of the journey from Mount Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the nation of Israel. And in these verses, we find that Moses is recounting that history. Notice what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 26 through verse number 28. Notice he says, "Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts.'" Notice that. "Discouraged our hearts, saying, 'The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakims there.'" I want you to understand that discouragement can cause the work of God to cease. Family members can discourage us. They'll often give us advice that's contrary to the Word of God. And they'll be well-meaning about it. They're not trying to do anything to harm you, but their advice from family members oftentimes goes contrary to the Word of God. Even believers will do this sometimes. They're not grounded in the things of God. That's why when you have a problem in your life and a trial comes into your life, the first place you need to go to is the Word of God. Fall on your face and seek God's face. Let Him direct you through His Word. And oftentimes, God does use godly counsel to help in that direction, to help us understand what direction He wants us to go to. But the truth of the matter is, most of the times we don't go to the Word. We don't break down in prayer. We just run to someone who we trust and we think they might have all the answers, and we go to them and they might give us some bad advice contrary to the Word of God. Some may treat you differently because You have a desire to honor God and serve them. You know, maybe you're just newly saved. You're the first one in your family that has trusted in Christ as your Savior. And maybe the first one that's fully surrendered or fully sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it could be very discouraging as you go home and go back to them and witness to them. And they reject the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know and you understand that they're on the road to eternity in hell without Jesus Christ. You could be discouraged by that. Listen, my friend, do not be discouraged by it. We find that Christians can discourage us, but also our friends can discourage us. Many people have reaped the results of a friendship that have ended in disaster. Let me help you. A true friend will never, ever, ever discourage you, encourage you to do anything that is wrong. If they tell you, listen, I know what the Bible says, but we ought to do this. Or it's not as bad as you think it is. Listen, you better dump them because your friends can discourage you. The important thing is to determine that we'll have those around us who demonstrate true friendship. True friendship only comes if you're a friend of God. And if they're not a friend of God, if they're not a child of God, listen, they ought not to be your true friend. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says this, iron sharpeneth iron, so as a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. So we find that Christians can discourage us. Our friends can discourage us. But notice, thirdly, the flesh can discourage us. I'll not have you turn there because we covered this, and part of this message is born out of the message from this morning. But in Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through verse number 24, we notice and saw what the Apostle Paul said. And if we allowed it to be so, we could become discouraged by those who are what we aren't and think about what we're not to be. Notice, we're all sinners saved by grace. And Paul says, I want to do what's right, but I don't always do it. And those things that I don't want to do, I end up doing those things. And my friend, your flesh can discourage yourself. Don't be discouraged by it. We saw from this morning's message that you can have victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we see that the devil can discourage us. We see that we can, discouragement will come to our life. And then thirdly, notice, disappointment can cause the work to cease. I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul speaking about Barnabas in Acts chapter 15 and verse 37 and verse 38. The Bible says this, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Notice, the loss of fellow workers is disappointing. Listen, here's the truth. A lot of people used to come and serve and work, but they're no longer here for various reasons. Some moved on. Some got PCS in the military. Some have passed on, and now they're in glory. Others have just chose not to serve God for whatever reason. I want you to understand this, that you and I cannot live in the past. We can't look at who used to be here and get discouraged by that. Think back to individuals who had a great impact on your life as a believer. Maybe they're here, maybe they're not here. Whatever the case is, understand this, is that don't be discouraged if you find that they're not here. One of the person that was very relative for me coming to know Christ as my personal Savior is no longer serving God, and no longer serving God. If I thought anybody would do something for the Lord, that would be this fellow. But he's no longer serving God. But you know what? I can't look back. I thank God that God used him at that time, and God raised him up, and he was an instrument in me coming to know Christ, and eventually Diana coming to know Christ as our personal saviors. But understand, he has to answer to God for himself. I'm not going to be totally discouraged that he's not serving God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I pray for him as God reminds me about him. But disappointment will often cause the work of God to cease. And close and fellow workers could bring disappointment in your life. Notice, secondly, a lack of fruit could be disappointing. Visible fruit that remains is what we're all looking for, but it's not always what we see. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 15. John, chapter number 15, and look at verse number 16. The lack of fruit is disappointing. And we're all looking for visible fruit. Notice what the Lord says in John chapter 15 and verse 16. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." You see, that ought to be our desire, that as we bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, that that fruit will remain. But here's the truth of the matter is that not all the fruit that's brought to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to remain. It's just a sad fact. I think about the Sunday school class that doesn't meet your attendance goals. I think about that activity that wasn't a success as you thought it would be. I'm thinking about our team revival we had mentioned this morning during the baptismal period, that we had planned on 100 people. I mean, that was the plan. It seemed like God was filling that up. But when the day came, we had about 33 or 34 young people, along with the other volunteers that drove them there and helped serve and work. There was a number of those as well. But if you looked out at that activity, you would say, this activity was not a success. We planned on 100, but only 33 or 34 young people came. But I remind you about the four that trusted in Christ. Listen, that was a successful endeavor. But if you look out sometimes, you see the lack of fruit, the lack of people in your class, the lack of people on your bus riders, on your bus, and you can become disappointed. You can look at our soul winning time on Saturdays here. Twice a month we have soul winning and visitation. You could show up here and see the lack of soul winners showing up to go win people to Christ. And if we're not careful, guess what? We can become disappointed, so disappointed that we cease to do God's work. And we say to ourselves, what's the use? It's just me and mine and they, and that's it. I can't win this whole town to the Lord. You're right, you can't. But you can win them one door at a time. You'll be responsible for where God leads you, what God has for you. Don't allow the lack of fruit to be disappointing. Continue on. I kind of like what Nehemiah said back in our text in the book of Nehemiah. Let's turn back there. Nehemiah chapter number 6. Notice what he said. In verse 3, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave you and come down to you? And they said unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after this same manner." Basically, I believe this, that he said, oh no, I'm not coming down, amen. And listen, you have to say that same thing to your life. Oh, no, I'm not going to be disappointed. If it's just me and my ministry team, praise God for that. Thank you, God, for their faithfulness as well. The lack of fruit can be disappointing. And sometimes the limited fellowship is disappointing as well. And there's a reason why God tells us in the book of Hebrews that believers should not forsake the assembling of their self together as a manner of some is. You see, when we withdraw out of fellowship with each other, we begin to focus on ourselves. You see, how can we exhort one another? How can we lift another one up? How can we carry one another's burdens? We can't do that if we're not in fellowship with them. And we starve ourselves spiritually by failing to come and hear the Word of God being preached and taught on Wednesdays and Sundays. It's the Word of God that will make a difference in our life. It's not how you feel. It's not even what you think. It's God's Word that does a work in our life. Well, we find that the devil can cause the work to cease. Discouragement can cause the work to cease. Disappointments can cause the work to cease. But notice lastly, distractions can cause the work to cease. In 2 Timothy 4:10, we find these words, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatians." You see, people can get distracted by their problems. All of us have problems. I have problems. You have problems. Some are big problems. Hopefully, prayerfully, most of them are just little minor problems. And sometimes we find ourselves so overwhelmed and so distracted by our problems that it seems like there is no hope. And that's the sense Paul had in Romans 7 from in verse 24 from this morning's message. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You see, people get distracted by the problems, but then secondly, people get distracted by pleasures and profit. You know, the Lord warns us over and over again not to get entangled with the things of the world. I like Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Listen, don't be entangled with the things of the world. It reminds us, really, as Peter writes, that everything is temporary. He said this in his second epistle in the third chapter in verse number 10, "For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and those which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall mount with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." You see, there's an old adage that goes something like this: only one life, and soon 'twill be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Well, Nehemiah chapter number 6, in verse number 3, he said, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you?" Here's the truth. Your work may not always be great, but the work that you do for the Lord is always a great work. And as we close tonight and get ready to go into our ministry meeting, if we're not careful, we can allow the devil, we can allow discouragement, we can allow disappointments and even distractions from this world to cause the work to cease here at Sharon Baptist Church. And to be quite frank with you this evening, that's what the devil wants to do. He knows he can't have your soul. It's too late. You trusted in Christ as your Savior. But he wants you to get discouraged and disappointed. He wants you to get distracted and cause the work here at Sharon Baptist Church to cease. I ask you this question again: should the work cease? And I'll answer it for you. It should not cease. But it will stop if you let it stop. Galatians 6:9 says this: "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let us all here, gathered tonight here at Sharon Baptist Church, let all those hearing this in the days and weeks to come by the way of the internet and live stream, let us all here at Sharon Baptist Church be reapers and not fainters. And if we'll do that, I can promise you this: the work will not cease. But it's up to you. You have to commit to do it. Father, we thank you for this time we could spend in your word tonight, Father, as we really just think about this thought, should